for this second Sunday of our Easter season, I would invite your attention, if you can and would, to turn with me to St. John, the 20th chapter. St. John, the 20th chapter. And I want to read there verses 19 through 23. Will you hear these words? When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." May God give thanks for this reading and hearing and sharing of this word. This topic this morning, let's talk about peace. Let's talk about peace. Will you pray with me? Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. I have a feeling that if any one of us were called to give a definition of what peace is and what peace is all about, the temptation is very strong to say that it is the absence of war and conflict. It would be that time and moment when the sun is shining and everything seems to be in its place. It is a time of tranquility. We would not want to use as a setting. We would not want to use as a setting persons behind closed doors. You would not want to define peace as persons locked up and not knowing what will happen and what will come next for them. Even though many of them had seen the risen Christ, it was a spiritual presence. And the association between the physical and the spiritual is a source of debate even until this day. And when you add this word, when you add this to the word of a faithful disciple like Thomas, who, when told, "We have seen the Lord," Thomas replied, "When I can see the nail prints in his hands and put my hand into his side, until that moment, I will not believe." With all of this going on inside the disciples. And all of what must have been going on around them. Jesus came to speak the word for that moment. And when you think about it, where we are right now, and the climate that surrounds us, we know more about fear, don't we? We know more about fear. We remember that story of the little boy who had that line in the church play. He had that line, "It is I, be not afraid." But when he stepped out on the stage and the lights were glaring at him and the large crowd was present, he said, "It's me, and I'm scared." We have all been there. And so for these moments, what is it that can cut through our fears and we can see the resurrected Christ for ourselves? It was Pascal who flushed out the meaning of this moment when he said, "Not only do we know God by Jesus Christ, but we know ourselves only by Jesus Christ. We know life and death only through Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus Christ, we do not know what is our life, what is our death. No God, nor ourselves." When we say that the resurrected Christ is ours, then it is to say that our very life has been changed. Our life is under a continued state of transformation. That old prayer described it this way: "God, we are not what we ought to be. We are not what we are going to be. But thank you that we are not what we once were." And so when we talk about peace, we know that we can overcome our fears and lead us into a deeper relationship with the resurrected Christ. The scripture is letting us know then that this peace is not passive. It was William Barclay who said these words about peace: "It means far more than, 'May you be saved from trouble.' It means, 'May God give you every good thing.' May God give you every good thing." This peace is not to sit down, but it is to stand up for what we believe. This peace will lead us to speak out, to challenge those things that we believe are not right. With this kind of peace, it is bringing us to what it really means to be the church. One author that I'm reading, and I'm going to share the whole article with you in this coming edition of The Uniter, but one author that I'm reading described the difference in the church between that of a national park and a jungle. He said, in the national park, it's predictable. and it's slow to change. In the jungle, nothing is predictable, and changes are fast. In the national park, change happens very slowly. The jungle changes from day to day. In the national park, you can travel it alone. In the jungle, no one goes into the jungle alone. And yes, in the national park, you can see the horizon. In the jungle, the horizon isn't visible. Where we want to be is the church in the jungle. The church in the jungle. And Christ says to the disciples, and I'm saying to Burns United Methodist Church right now, receive the Holy Spirit. Remember in Ezekiel, where the Spirit breathed into those dry bones, and they stood on their feet like a mighty army. We are called to be filled. To be filled with the Spirit. And then we can be at peace. With this peace, we can take what is the message. What is the message of the church? And we can take it out to this lonely and hurting world. I say lonely, and I say hurting, because people are seeking and people are searching today. A good friend of mine is the manager of Cokesbury, and I was by there to see her a few days ago, and she said to me about the seeking and searching of people. She said, one lady came into the store and asked her, where is the end of the world section? Two other bookstores have closed recently, and they're seeing all kinds of people at Cokesbury. All kinds of people from all different kinds of backgrounds. People who are hungry and thirsty. People who are searching. And so for one person, the search is, where is the end of the world section? How many today are just seeking forgiveness? The church can say, in the spirit of the resurrected Christ, you are forgiven. How many today are just needing hope and some humor within their life? I'm going to take a risk and say, you're not going to find it at the gas station. Toward the end of the week, back east, they weren't even finding any gas. So you're not going to find it at the gas station. But the church can say, and we can sing with joy, His name is wonderful. We can be the church filled with the message of the resurrected Jesus Christ. We can be the church with our minds enlightened and our hearts warmed. We are strong even in the midst of these troubling and disturbing times. And so where is the end of the world section? No. No. I wish I could have seen that person so I could have told them that there is new life in Jesus Christ. You can start over again. In Jesus Christ. There is always a place. There is always position for a second chance. A second opportunity. You can start all over again. This is the message of the church. This is the message of resurrection. So then let's talk about peace. Let's talk about it in the sense that Christ is alive today. Let's talk about it in the sense that we in the church are called to be peacemakers. Let's talk about peace. Let's sing, "Let there be peace on earth." Let's talk about peace. All because of those words to the disciples. Peace be with you. Amen.